Hello, my name is Sue Porter, and I am the founder of Your Cluttered Space. I work as a professional organiser. I help people organise their homes, businesses, and in some cases, their lives. It's been a while since I did my last podcast, so I thought I would dust off the cobwebs and touch base with the outside world again. The topic I would like to talk about today is downsizing your home. Downsizing can happen for a multitude of reasons. It may be you are moving to a different area where the homes are smaller. You may be facing divorce, separation, or the death of a loved one. You could have lost your job and need to cut your cloth accordingly. Or maybe your children have moved out, leaving you with an oversized empty nest. Another reason why people downsize is aging process, where our needs are such that we don't need the upkeep of a large house, or we need to move to a senior community where our needs can be better met. Moving from a house that has, for example, 2,500 square feet to 600 or 800 square feet is a huge task. It is very obvious that all the wonderful treasures you have in your 2,500 square foot house are not going to fit in the new 600 or 800 square foot home. Some things are going to have to go. This is where difficult decisions need to be made. So many people get caught up with these decisions that they become frustrated, overwhelmed, and incredibly anxious, not knowing what to keep or to get rid of, what is worth money, and how to get rid of items that hold sentimental value can be absolutely mind-blowing. In my work, I deal with many seniors that find themselves having to move from the family home to senior care facilities. Moving house at any age can be very traumatic, but the older you get, the anxiety moving can cause intensifies. Many seniors hope that their family will want to take the items from their home, often saving them in the basement for that one day when things will be collected, only to be disappointed that they don't. One lady I heard about, her daughter had said she wanted her grandmother's fine china when she had her own home. Mum diligently kept the china safe in her basement for when the daughter finally got that home. However, when she did, it was across the other side of the United States. The china had long been forgotten. When Mum mentioned it again to her daughter, the daughter casually said that she would collect it the next time she came to visit. Well, of course, when she did visit, there was no room for the china in her suitcase, so it stayed in the basement collecting more dust. Her daughter's birthday was approaching, so Mum had an idea. She carefully wrapped up a few plates and shipped them across the country to her daughter for her birthday. She repeated this process again at Christmas and for her wedding anniversary. The daughter really thought Mum was beginning to lose her marbles and asked why she was receiving a few plates or pieces of china. Mum explained that it was Grandma's china that she'd wanted. Without a second thought, the daughter quickly said, "Don't send any more, I don't want it. Take it to Goodwill." If only that had happened when Grandma had no need of it, it would have saved Mum a lot of anxiety. This is a great example of where communication between the mother and daughter would have played a huge part. The mother should have put boundaries in place and told her daughter exactly what was acceptable and said to the daughter, "I'll keep this stuff for you until such and such a date, and then after that I'm going to get rid of it." That way, clear boundaries and expectations would have been put in place and everybody would have understood what was expected of them. A few years ago, I went back to the United Kingdom to help my parents clear out their home. When I was growing up, there was a street in my hometown that every shop was an antique dealer. My dad had collected several old family heirlooms that neither my brother or I had any use for. So, with my parents' permission, I decided to visit this street and offer these old pieces to the antique dealers. To my surprise, there was only one shop left on the street that was dealing in antiques. I eagerly showed the dealer the pieces, excited about the newfound fortune that we might come into by selling these pieces, only to be asked, would you use this china, or would you display any of these items in your home? I can remember laughing and saying, no, that is why I'm visiting you. The china was hand-painted and had gold paint around the edges, neither of which are either microwave or dishwasher friendly. The dealer pointed out that nowadays people preferred plain stuff that could be easily used in the modern technology we have in our homes. Sadly, she was unable to take any of my dad's treasures that had been taking up space in the home. If my dad had sold them some 30 years ago, he'd have made some money on the items that he had. Now, I'm not sure what the future holds for these items. We all believe that we have items in our home that are valuable. However, it is very important to remember, it is not what we have paid for them, but what someone else sees as their value. The items that we hold as valuable treasures can become financial burdens around our neck and end up costing us more money. I have encountered many people who cannot find members of their family that want the furniture or other items from a family home, so they rent storage units and pay an exuberant amount of money to keep these items in a storage unit, gathering cobwebs. Then, when they die, the remaining family members have to find a way to dispose of the items, which can cost a lot of money also. One lady I heard about solved this problem. She was a spinster who had never had children of her own. She had nieces and nephews whom she asked if they wanted any of her furniture that both her father and grandfather had made. No, it was all too old-fashioned, all too large, or didn't fit their style. These items were important to the lady. They were her legacy and held very sentimental value. So, she diligently took photos of each piece and created a photo storybook of each piece, giving details of each piece's history. Then, she gave each of her nieces and nephews a copy of the photo book, also keeping one for herself, so that when she needed to go down memory lane, she could simply get the book off her coffee table and look with delight at her wonderful pieces without actually having the pieces living with her at the senior complex that she was living at. It's important to remember that it's not pieces of furniture or other sentimental memorabilia that holds the people that we've lost so dearly to us. It's their memories. It's their actions. It's their words that they've spoken. Yes, all of these pieces of furniture were important to this lady. They held sentimental value because her father and grandfather had made them. Getting rid of these items didn't make her forget these people. It didn't lose her memories of these people. It just enabled her to fit into the space that she now needed for the next phase of her life. But the fact that she could still see them and still read about them, the memories lived on. She didn't actually need the pieces there to justify that. When people need to downsize, sometimes they get focused on what they have, rather than actually asking themselves, what do they need? That's really a very important question. Things that we needed when we were younger, or maybe even bringing up a family, are different to what we need in our older years. With my older clients, I always try to ask them, how will this item benefit you in your future life? Many people stop and actually think, what is the benefit of keeping this? Whilst focusing on all that they have, they tend to get so overwhelmed that they don't even know where to start the process of downsizing. Because as the saying goes, they just cannot see the woods for the trees. An easier decision process is to focus on what you actually need in your life for the next phase of your adventure. To help my clients deal with this, I ask them to get some painter's tape and go around the house putting small pieces of painter's tape on items they absolutely cannot live without and putting the word green on the painter's tape. This represents the word go, so it means those items are moving or going with them. Then, to go through the house again and put painter's tape marked with the word yellow for the items that you're unsure of at this point. The final run is where you put painter's tape on items that are going to be marked with the word red, which means that they are not going, they are stopping, just like a traffic light system. This method offers a very clear, visible indication to everyone as to what is important. Humans actually need very little to survive. We need food, water, shelter, and clothes are essential. But other than that, we may need a bed, a chair to sit in, a table, although if you have a chair, you may not need a table, maybe a lamp or two. Other stuff may be nice, but you could survive without it. When my family and I transitioned over here from the UK, we had the option of having an extra large storage container to carry all of our stuff over here, or a smaller one, with the financial benefit of receiving cash for the difference in cost between the two storage containers. We actually opted for the smaller one, because when we thought about it, we needed beds and bedding for everyone, clothes, some cooking and eating items. My husband wanted to bring all the technology we had. We found we had ample space, once these important items had been packed, to have some of our yellow items added. When we arrived at our new home in America and received our items, no, we didn't have a dining table. No, we didn't have TVs and other luxury items. Did we survive? Yes, absolutely. We told our kids we were camping and it was an adventure. During this time, we played games, read books that we got from the local library, chatted, sat on our lounge floor having family fun dinners. This transition time gave us time to decide what we needed in our home, not just to accept what we had. And of course, because we weren't worrying about all the items we possessed, and we were just focusing on what we needed, the transition from England to America was a lot less stressful. With this in mind, if you find yourself in a position where you can move and only take the minimal amount of stuff with you, this is a great way to actually determine what you need. If you go several weeks without needing item X, chances are you won't need it again. I'm often asked, how can I get rid of the stuff that I don't need? With modern technology, there are many options available to us for getting rid of stuff we no longer need. There are many places on the internet that you can sell locally or even worldwide to get some money back for your prized possessions. You can also use the facilities of many goodwill stores. Another place that may appreciate your unwanted treasures is shelters, women's shelters, homeless shelters, or even animal shelters. One thing that many people seem to collect over the years are suitcases. Perhaps if you've got a lot of suitcases, consider giving spare ones to foster care providers or a women's refuge. Many people who leave their homes under duress often just use garbage bags to take away their stuff. Giving a foster child a suitcase they can call their own is actually a very prized possession for them. Getting rid of items can be tough. However, instead of looking at the item and saying, "Ooh, that cost me X amount of dollars, it's valuable," perhaps consider another perspective. This item, yes, it did cost X amount of dollars, but it's been much loved or used in this family. It's actually served its purpose, and the cost I paid for it has been well worth it. It's now time to let it move on or let it go. It is also important to consider the value and benefit of the item in the next phase of your life. Remember, it is not important what you had, rather than what you need now to meet your needs and requirements. I hope you found this podcast interesting, and maybe even some of the points I've put in here useful. Moving house or downsizing can be stressful. There are many things that you can do when moving or downsizing to help you. Perhaps consider actually employing a professional organiser who is trained in the art of downsizing. They will be able to help you make decisions. Maybe you are so overwhelmed you cannot do at this point. To summarise what I've said in this podcast, the first thing I need to say is determine what you need to take for the next phase of your life. 2. Don't feel guilty about letting things that you have go or move on to another home. That's okay. You can give yourself permission to do so without feeling guilt. 3. Remember, sometimes less is more and can be far more beneficial to you. Don't keep those items in a storage unit that someday someone may want. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Also, consider if you're moving quite a distance, maybe from one state to the other. The more stuff you take, the more it's going to cost you in transportation costs. Moving house can cost several thousand dollars just in transportation of your items alone. Is it actually more beneficial to take less and actually just purchase the items that you need when you get to your new home? The stuff that you have in your home at the moment may not suit the new style of home that you have in your new house, or even fit. So that's a consideration too. Well, all that's left for me to say now is I hope your move in downsizing goes well if you're considering it. I hope these points have been useful. My name is Sue Porter. I'm a professional organiser and the founder of Your Cluttered Space.